as 34,180. The UN Rights Chief says that he's horrified by the discovery of mass graves at two hospitals in Gaza, which contained hundreds of bodies. Plus, calls growing for the UK to scrap a controversial plan to deport asylum seekers to Rwanda after parliamentary approval. Hi everybody, good to have you with us. It's day 200 of the Israeli genocide in the Gaza Strip. The regime continues the massacre of civilians by pounding the blockaded territory with more air raids and artillery fire. In the latest attacks, at least one person was killed and several were injured as warplanes targeted a house and then the Sa'irat refugee camp in central Gaza. The Israeli artillery also struck an area in the Al Zaytun neighborhood south of Gaza City, causing a large fire. The Palestinian Health Ministry says 32 people were killed and 59 injured in the past day, and that brings the death toll to more than 34,180 since October 7th. More than 77,000 people have also been wounded. The Geneva-based human rights organization has warned that the people of Gaza are facing an increased risk of infections and epidemics due to the collapse of the health system. Our correspondent Mutia bin Musabba joined us earlier from the central Gaza city of Deir al-Bala with an update on the situation in the war-ravaged, besieged Palestinian territory.
This genocidal war against Gaza Strip enters its 200th consecutive day with more destruction, more attacks, and more bloodshed of the Palestinian civilians. Over the last night, the Israeli occupation forces actually intensified and concentrated their attacks and airstrikes against all areas of Gaza Strip. And these attacks are still maintained so far as we speak right now. We can hear the bombardments and the explosions are booming these moments in the eastern part of the central area of Gaza Strip, basically Al-Maghazi refugee camp and Al-Burij refugee camp. Those areas were under heavy bombardments and attacks of the Israeli artillery shelling. In addition to that, and the northern part of Al-Nusayrat refugee camp was also hit relentlessly over the last night with more relentless Israeli strikes and artillery shelling. The central area of Gaza Strip has been under heavy bombardments for at least 2 consecutive weeks so far. And according to, as you know, the Israeli occupation forces are threatening to conduct more operations and more attacks against the central area of Gaza Strip. Dozens of the Palestinian residential buildings were completely targeted and destroyed by the Israeli warplanes using the ceaseless Israeli strikes and the artillery shelling that was concentrated and maintained against the northern part of Al-Nusayrat refugee camp and the eastern part of Al-Burij refugee camp.
The military wing of Islamic Jihad movement says it's launched a fresh missile strike on 2 Israeli settlements near northern Gaza. The attack has caused no injuries but left material damage in the Sderot settlement. According to Al-Quds brigades, the operation was performed in support of Gazans and in retaliation for Israeli crimes there. In recent weeks, resistance fighters from different Palestinian groups have carried out numerous attacks on Israeli positions in response to the genocide in Gaza. They've also put up stiff resistance to Israeli forces on the ground in Gaza. The United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights says that he is horrified by the destruction of the Nasser and Al-Shifa medical facilities in Gaza and the discovery of mass graves there. Volker Turk said that some of the bodies had their hands tied, which indicates serious violation of international human rights law and international humanitarian law. Turk also called for further investigations. Last week, the discovery of a mass grave at Nasser Hospital drew global condemnations. Bodies were also discovered at Al-Shifa following an Israeli raid on the site. The bodies were buried beneath piles of waste and included women and the elderly. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says that Israel does not hesitate to commit such crimes against civilians in Gaza, with the U.S. administration providing the regime with criminal cover. It says the U.S. is a full partner in the Israeli genocide in the besieged strip. Now, during our news review program, we've discussed how the Israeli regime uses the genocidal practices like mass execution of Palestinians to ethnically cleanse them from their ancestral land.
Mick Napier, co-founder of the Scottish Palestine Solidarity Campaign, joins us from Edinburgh. We also have Julia Kassam, journalist and political analyst, who joins us from Beirut. Welcome to you both. So, Mick Napier, the unfortunate, milestone of another, I should say, milestone is this 200th day that we're looking at, today being that day. We are looking at the discovery of this mass grave, which Hamas has slammed. I believe roughly about 300-plus bodies. When you take a look at the previous mass graves and the previous massacres that have happened at the hospitals, what is it that is Israel looking for that it continues to commit these atrocities at the hospitals when it's not finding its intended goal, whatever it may think it's looking for?
Well, the intended goal from the very beginning was to drive Palestinians out of Gaza, and as they have been driving Palestinians out of Palestine for a very long time, and this can only be accomplished by the massive application of violence. So the so-called war against Hamas was always, from the very beginning, and any objective observer would conclude this, was to terrorize the Palestinians out of Gaza. The latest developments are, beyond words. Hands tied behind the back, mainly women and children, hundreds and hundreds of bodies. It doesn't reduce the horror of that to say that Israel has actually been doing this for a very, very long time. Palestinian history is punctuated by such massacres, from 1948 onwards. So, but this one is special in that the whole world is watching, and is watching using technology that didn't exist before. So this is genocide. If it's not genocide, then it's difficult to imagine what the international law specifies as genocide. And it's going to be impossible for the ICJ not to conclude that Israel's committing genocide. So what are we looking at? We're looking at the possibility of cholera, typhus, various epidemics, continuing the grisly work of the Israeli military. And it's also a long tradition of Western genocides in Central America, in South Asia, in Palestine as well. By the way, for a historical footnote, it was the Zionists who introduced bacteriological warfare into the Middle East. And they were caught doing it by the British, who then hanged a couple of them for putting typhus and various other germs into the water supply. So Israel has no compunction about wiping out large numbers of Palestinians using germ warfare, and that seems to be what's happening at the moment. It's beyond words. It's a long, long, long tradition, but this is a particularly horrifying example of it. To find these scores and scores of bodies, comparisons, by the way, for Europeans with the Nazis are absolutely natural. This is the kind of thing which happened across Europe under Nazi rule. They didn't have a monopoly of it, but we're currently bound by regime. We're not bound, defying them for the bonds, but our regime, our governments are trying to prevent any comparison by people, by citizens, of Israel's behaviour with that of the Nazis in World War II. But that comparison is becoming absolutely undeniable, and this today could be transposed to many massacres committed against people, Jews, of course, and many other people in Europe, because they were the wrong kind of people. So Israel is carrying on that grisly, the most horrific parts of the human tradition, and it's doing it in the full light of day. And you can't avoid the conclusion that they want the world to see this. They want the world to think that the Israelis are capable of any atrocity, and therefore don't defy them.
We need to talk, Julia Kassam, of the U.S. role here, because Hamas has also pointed that out. And it's interesting that you have the U.S. again coming out. Just a couple days back, I believe, was the Human Rights Report, of which we understand that obviously it did not come out and say anything against Israel, although there are rumors that it may actually sanction maybe at least one of the army units. But that itself is ironic, given the fact that it's providing the tools for Israel to commit the genocide. What is your view of the U.S. Cooperation when it comes to the massacres taking place?
The U.S. is the prime funder and prime backer of this genocide in Gaza. Every single genocide before it, whether ideologically, historically, or in recent years, in the last 5 years, materially. So what we see right now in Gaza is, yes, continuously escalating, continuously unprecedented, both in its reach and its atrocities, a genocide against the Palestinian people, completely enabled and abetted by the U.S., which not only continues to send weapons to the Zionist entity, but even fast-tracks and bypasses its own congressional approval, which it has done 3 times, in order to continue to funnel the same weapons that are causing the massacre and slaughter of over 30,000 Palestinians. Time and time again, the U.S. has turned a blind eye, whether at the UN Security Council or any other international body assembled in, with the intention of holding accountable crimes against humanity, that we're seeing today. The U.S. uses its disproportionate institutional influence on so-called international communities, institutions, to strike down for any attempt at gaining accountability, whether in the ICJ or within the UN Security Council.
All right, let me thank our guests. We're fresh out of time. Mick Napier, co-founder of Scottish-Palestine Solidarity Campaign. Julie Kassam, their journalist and political analyst. Thank you to you both. With that, we come to an end for this edition of the News Review.
Moving on, an Israeli air raid has hit a vehicle on a highway in southern Lebanon amid simmering tensions between the regime and Hezbollah movement. The strike has killed a person said to be a member of Hezbollah. The Lebanese resistance movement and the Israeli military have been trading fire since October 8th, a day after the regime launched a genocidal war on Gaza. Hezbollah fires missiles and rockets at Israeli military sites in northern occupied territories, while Israel targets residential areas in southern Lebanon. Pro-Palestinian sentiments reaching a fever pitch among American university students as protests against the Gaza genocide are in full swing on campuses.
Free, free, free Palestine!
Palestine!
To show that yes, we want to be visible. The university should do something about what we're asking about the genocide that's happening in Gaza. They should stop investing in this genocide that our people is suffering from.
Protests at Columbia University have forced authorities to cancel in-person classes. In the Northeast, dozens of protesters were arrested at Yale University. In Massachusetts, gates to Harvard Yard were closed to public in an attempt to head off protests. Students have also set up tents and held rallies and sit-ins at other U.S. campuses across the nation. They demand that universities divest finances from manufacturers that sell weapons to Israel. Paul Foote, an academic and commentator, joined us earlier and shared his thoughts on the growing tensions on American university campuses over the ongoing Israeli genocide in Gaza.
I'm delighted to see it. As a former professor myself, I actually missed the chance to be more involved in this. We had a revolution in this country, and I had ancestors who served in it to get rid of the terrible rulers that we had in this country. And the founders of the American Revolution said that we probably need additional revolutions every 20 years or people forget the freedom. So here we are in this situation where everything's backwards, where we are now in a slave state. As Norman Finkelstein said about Gaza, he said, Hamas did a slave revolt. It's even worse in America because Americans voted for their enslavement by the Zionists. And so this is very embarrassing for them, and I hope this continues throughout the country in a much grander scale, saying enough of this, that we're not going to stick with Genocide Joe anymore, we're not going to vote for the Democrats anymore, or for any Republicans who are supported by the Christian Zionists. It's time to turn things upside down and vote for third parties and get rid of the corrupt system we have in this country now, unfortunately. I know what it's like. You don't run for office in this country at any level without being approached by IPAC, the American Israeli Political Affairs Committee, asking you to support pledge cards for them. They have really tight control. They control the media. And unfortunately, millions of people still are stupid enough to watch the mainstream media.
A call to Groen for the UK to scrap a controversial plan to deport asylum seekers to Rwanda, as the British government says it will go ahead with the previously announced timelines. The United Nations says the move threatens the rule of law and will set a perilous precedent globally. It also calls on the British government to take practical measures based on international cooperation and respect for international human rights law. Europe's highest rights body also joined the calls. It says the plan raises concerns about the human rights of asylum seekers. The British Parliament, in a heated debate on Monday, passed a bill under which asylum seekers would be deported to Rwanda to await a decision on their applications.
This is awful legislation. It is cruel, it is inept, it is expensive. We should vote the amendments through. The law should keep going. The government should concede.
The no's to the left.
Now, despite calls from different agencies and groups, the British Prime Minister says that nothing would prevent him from deporting the asylum seekers. Hours after the bill passed, five people, including a child, died in an attempt to cross the English Channel from France to Britain on an overcrowded boat. Tens of thousands of migrants, many fleeing wars and poverty, have reached Britain in recent years by crossing the channel in small boats on risky journeys organized by human smuggling gangs. Now, President Ibrahim Raisi says Iran and Pakistan have, quote, inseparable bonds, and that they're determined to bolster their relations at all levels. The president is in Pakistan for a three-day visit. And with that, we come to the end of this newscast. Thank you for being with us.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
in the limelight.
The United Nations Human Rights Council adopted a resolution calling on Israel to be held accountable for war crimes and crimes against humanity committed in the Gaza Strip. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. Hours after US President Joe Biden told Israel to take concrete steps to protect civilians and aid workers in Gaza or risk losing military support from the United States, top members of President's Democratic Party ramped up pressure on the White House to go further. The progressive Senator Bernie Sanders was among the strongest voices. Bernie Sanders said Israel should not be getting another nickel in military aid until it markedly facilitates the flow of provisions into a region that the US suspects is already grappling with famine. Bernie Sanders told CNN on Thursday, 4th of April, "We're looking at one of the worst humanitarian disasters that we have seen in a very, very long time, because Israel is not allowing humanitarian trucks into Gaza, and especially into the areas where people are in most desperate condition." Sanders added, "It was not the US's job to worry about how Gaza may tie into the political future of the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu." The Vermont senator added, "My view is no more military aid to Israel when children are starving in Gaza." Meanwhile, the Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen of Maryland insisted that President Biden enforce a national security memorandum signed in February that aimed to condition the transfer of military weaponry to Israel on its adherence to humanitarian benchmarks. Senator Van Hollen said topping the list of policies that President Biden could leverage against Israel is the suspension of transferring offensive weapons to the occupied Palestinian territories if it fails at reducing civilian harm or getting desperately needed assistance to people in need. Democratic Senator Van Hollen alluded to the policy days after Israeli airstrikes assassinated 7 employees of the international food charity World Central Kitchen. Following the attack, a cargo ship carrying 240 tons of food destined for Gaza returned to Cyprus. The Democratic senator from Massachusetts, Elizabeth Warren, said she would seek to impede the sale of F-15s to the occupied Palestinian territories after the assassination of the World Central Kitchen staffers, which included a US-Canadian citizen and 3 British nationals. A day before the World Central Kitchen workers were massacred, a report surfaced that the Biden administration was mulling an $18 billion arms transfer package to Israel that would include more than 24 F-15 fighter jets. Democratic Senator from Massachusetts, Elizabeth Warren, told CNN, "We cannot approve the sale of arms to a regime that is in violation of our own laws on this, and that includes access to humanitarian relief. This is a moral question, it is also a legal question. Congress has responsibility here, and I'm willing to take that responsibility." Bernie Sanders, Senators Van Hollen and Warren are all part of a 51-49 majority that Democrats and independents who caucus with them hold in the U.S. Senate. President Biden and his administration have generally stood in steadfast support of Israel, which has struck Gaza on land and by air after the 7th of October surprise operation by Hamas. But with the martyrdom toll in Gaza climbing above 30,000, and the humanitarian crisis worsening, the United States, which provides Israel with at least $3.8 billion in security assistance annually, recently abstained from a United Nations vote, which resulted in a resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. President Biden on Thursday, 4th of April, for the first time called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza as well. The website Reddit has also covered the same story and tells us more. World Central Kitchen has rejected as lacking credibility the findings of an Israeli investigation led by a former general into a coordinated series of Israeli drone strikes on the charity's vehicles in Gaza recently that assassinated seven aid workers. As the Israeli occupation forces blamed a series of grave errors for the deadly attack that assassinated three British nationals, three other foreign nationals, and a Palestinian colleague while delivering food, World Central Kitchen renewed its call for a full and independent inquiry into the incident. Amid mounting international pressure on the Israeli regime, the British Foreign Secretary David Cameron said the findings of the Israeli inquiry, which he said the UK was reviewing carefully, showed that major reform was required. David Cameron said on X social media platform, "It's clear major reform of Israel's deconfliction mechanism is badly needed to ensure the safety of aid workers." The hurriedly completed inquiry, which led to two middle-ranking officers being dismissed and a general reprimanded in the Israeli army, outlined a catalogue of failings by Israeli forces in an attack that has reinforced global criticism of Israel's conduct of a war in which more than 33,000 Palestinians have been massacred in the past 6 months. While welcoming the report as a first step, the founder of World Central Kitchen, the celebrity chef José Andrés, said the Israeli military cannot credibly investigate its own failure in Gaza. It's not enough to simply try to avoid further humanitarian deaths, which have now approached close to 200. All civilians need to be protected and all innocent people in Gaza need to be fed and safe, and all captives must be released. The charity's chief executive, Erin Gore, said, "Their apologies for the outrageous massacring of our colleagues represent cold comfort. It's cold comfort for the victims' families and World Central Kitchen's global family. Israel needs to take concrete steps to assure the safety of humanitarian aid workers. Our operations remain suspended in Gaza." World Central Kitchen's remarks were echoed by the UN Secretary-General Antonio Guterres, who said fixing failings in Israel's military procedures required independent investigations and meaningful and measurable changes on the ground, noting that 196 humanitarian aid workers have been assassinated during Israel's brutal assault on Gaza. Antonio Guterres said, "We want to know why." The announcement of punishments and the apology have not calmed the international outcry over the World Central Kitchen workers' deaths or reassured international aid groups that it is safe to resume operations in Gaza, where nearly a third of the population is on the brink of starvation. The Reuters news agency has also covered the same story. The United Nations Human Rights Council has adopted a resolution calling for Israel to be held accountable for war crimes and crimes against humanity committed in the Gaza Strip. The resolution came as Israel finally succumbed to unprecedented US pressure and opened new food corridors into Gaza. The vote by the United Nations Human Rights Council, a body that Israel reviles, marks another moment in the slow global ostracization of Israel over its war in Gaza, which has so far massacred tens of thousands of innocent Palestinians. 28 countries voted in favor, 13 countries abstained from the vote, and 6 voted against the resolution, including the United States and Germany. The resolution emphasized the need to ensure accountability for all violations of international humanitarian law and international human rights law in order to end impunity. It also expressed grave concern at reports of serious human rights violations and grave breaches of international humanitarian law including of possible war crimes and crimes against humanity in the occupied Palestinian territories. The resolution follows what appears to have been a decisive phone call between Joe Biden and Benjamin Netanyahu on Thursday, 4th of April, in which Joe Biden warned US policy towards Gaza would change if Israel continued to defy calls to alter its approach to the supply of aid to the population of Gaza.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وصي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of A Guide for Managers, based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are currently focusing on the one or two phrases of the 185th sermon, where Imam Ali alayhi salam warns the community and the people and all those involved in the leadership from being drunk with blessings. And being drunk with blessings basically means that type of blessing, or the blessing that a person faces and achieves and has and possesses, becomes a source of forgetting their aims and objectives and goals, and sometimes also may lead a person to become sinful and evil and bad. This is of course something that needs to be analyzed and has been analyzed, that the main reason is the love that a person gets of the world in their heart. And when a person is not prepared spiritually to have those blessings, as such, we should always, as believers, struggle to spiritually strengthen ourselves, as we also struggle to material progress. And this balance has to be always there, so that, inshallah, we are able to make use of the blessings in the right way.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, one of the things that is very important to keep in mind is a society, especially if it comes to a community, a big community like a country, or a, for example, a tribe, like a tribe or something like that. If we have a community like that, then it is very crucial that the leadership purifies itself from these false attachments to the world. And the leadership and those people in authority at different levels should not have that kind of, you can say, drunkenness with worldly and material issues. Because what happens is one of the reasons why a community or a people or citizens begin to dislike their leaders and their elders is when they see and notice that the leaders and elders are just focused and fixated on their own material progress. And sometimes they might not be like that, but when people see that they're just becoming rich and richer, then they might have a misconception in their minds. You know, sometimes a leader or for example, a person in leadership might suddenly get some wealth, for example, as an inheritance or something like that. Still, he needs to be careful because people can have different types of interpretations. And therefore, in order for the leadership and the governing group to be loved by the people, they need to try to achieve a simpler lifestyle. Does that mean that our aims should to be simple? The reason why we should be simple is to attract the love of the people? Is that the reason why we should do actions? Of course not. We should do actions only to please Allah. But when we notice that if we become affluent in this way and we start to spend in ways that are not good or overspend as leaders of a community for our own personal, let's say, gains and personal, material progress, then people become disoriented people. They start to get doubts and confused.
Nahjul Balagha, translated as the peak of eloquence, is a compilation of sermons, letters, and sayings that reflected Imam Ali's profound insights on governance, ethics, spirituality, and social justice. Sayyid Razi's meticulous work in preserving and presenting Imam Ali's words has made Nahjul Balagha a timeless source of inspiration for scholars, theologians, and seekers of wisdom.
Now, as those people that have experience in leadership and governance, they will tell you that people, you need always the support of the people to be able to progress in your aims and objectives. That includes an Islamic system also. If there is an Islamic system, the aim of that Islamic system is to uphold the values of Islam. And in order for those values to be upheld, people need to be there to support the government. People need to be there to uphold those values. What happens is that when there is a society, when there is a group of people in the leadership, or in the structure, in the government structures, that start to, for example, maybe become a bit corrupt here and there, and they start to become wealthy in ways that are not clear, people start to become disoriented, disenchanted, and therefore you will see that their support will also wane. So what should these groups of people do? They need to focus on serving. When they focus on serving, then you'll notice that people will see the fruits and the results of their service. People will notice the simplicity of their lifestyle and they will love that particular leadership and those particular groups of people. And alhamdulillah, if you notice our ulama, our maraji', look at how simple they live. And this simplicity in their lifestyle is what has caused the people to love and always be attached to these systems. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all the other systems that are in various places of the of the Islamic world, all these systems purge out those corrupt elements, and we are able to see a pure group of people leading the communities towards the goals and objectives that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in place. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال منه هو في الشدائد مجيد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kHz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kHz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
The Limelight.
The Zionist regime is abusing UNRWA employees detained in Gaza in order to extract forced confessions against the agency, with detainees describing being subjected to acts of torture. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. The Electronic Intifada wrote,
UNRWA staff observed signs of trauma and ill treatment, including dog bite wounds, among the released detainees upon their arrival to Karam Abu Salem checkpoint on the Gaza-Israel boundary. Many were transferred to hospitals in Gaza due to injury or illness. Released detainees said they were forced to sit on their knees for hours on end while blindfolded and their hands tied. They described ill treatment, including physical beatings, threats of physical harm, insults, and humiliation, such as being made to act like animals or getting urinated on, use of loud music and noise. Detainees were also deprived of food, water, sleep, and toilets, and prevented from praying. Tightly locked handcuffs caused open wounds and friction injuries, according to UNRWA. While detainees had their ribs broken and shoulders dislocated as a result of beating with metal bars, rifle butts, and boots. Men and boys who were sheltering at an UNRWA installation were forced to strip naked and remained naked during their detention. Men and women were subjected to sexual violence and harassment, threats of rape, and were forced to strip in front of the Israeli troops and photographed and filmed while naked. A 41-year-old man who was detained told UNRWA that detainees were subjected to electrical shocks through their body parts, causing another man he was detained to get sick and die. A woman who was detained said that an Israeli intelligence officer displayed her neighborhood on a computer screen and asked them about individuals residing there. The woman told UNRWA, she said, "If you don't confess with all the information, we will bomb your home and kill your family." The Palestinian Prisoners Club says that the Zionist regime refuses to disclose information on the number of people from Gaza it has detained over the past 6 months or on where they are being held, Reuters reported. Al-Mizan, a Palestinian human rights group based in Gaza, says that Israeli regime forces have detained at least 3,000 people in the territory who are subjected to multiple forms of cruelty, torture, inhuman and degrading treatment from the moment they are arrested. Their detention and interrogation occurs without any judicial oversight or legal protection, in blatant defiance of international humanitarian law and international human rights law, the rights group adds. Around 1,650 Palestinians from Gaza are being imprisoned by the Zionist regime under its unlawful combatants law in total isolation and denied the right to a lawyer or legal representation. Detainees held under this law are neither granted the status of prisoners of war under the Third Geneva Convention nor afforded the protections of civilian detainees under the Fourth Geneva Convention, according to Al-Mizan. A lawyer with the rights group recently visited Ascalon and Ofer prisons, where some 300 Palestinians from Gaza not held under the unlawful combatants law are being abducted, pending investigation. Al-Mizan's lawyer met with approximately 40 detainees who provided harrowing accounts of torture and inhumane treatment, including sleep deprivation and starvation as a form of torture and collective punishment. A 19-year-old told the rights group that three of his fingernails were removed during interrogation, that a dog was unleashed on him, and he was placed in a stress position for prolonged periods during 3 days of interrogation. Al-Mizan's lawyer reported that all detainees suffer from acute emaciation, fatigue, and back curvature due to being forced to bend their backs and heads while walking. The rights group said Many were unable to recall the names of people present in the room due to the physical and psychological abuse. According to Almizan's lawyer, in his more than 20 years of working with detainees, he had never encountered conditions as appalling as those observed at Ofer prison. The rights group said that the serious harm caused to Palestinians from Gaza in Israeli detention situates it within the legal framework of the crime of genocide. Al-Mizan added that the Zionist regime's use of systematic and widespread torture constitute crimes against humanity and called on the chief prosecutor of the International Criminal Court to issue arrest warrants.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kHz for the Indian subcontinent. And FM, 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio by your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more. No more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been narrated from Imam Ali alayhi salam regarding unforgivable sins. As you know, the sins have been categorized in Islam in using various categorizations, and techniques and methods. One of the divisions and categorizations of sins is the division of sins into unforgivable sins and sins which are forgivable. For example, in the Holy Quran, we read the following: indeed, Allah does not forgive that any partner should be ascribed to him, but he forgives anything besides that to whomever he wishes. And whoever ascribes partners to Allah has indeed fabricated a lie in great sinfulness. Right, this is a division of sins into two categories: sins that are forgivable and sins that are unforgivable, such as ascribing partners to God, polytheism, shirk. In this tradition, Imam Ali says, one of the firm decisions of Allah in the wise reminder, meaning the Quran, is that it will be of no avail to man to strive with his soul and to act sincerely if upon leaving this world to meet his Lord, he is still guilty of any of the following sins for which he has not repented. Meaning, no matter how much man strives and acts sincerely, if the person performs one of these sins and does not repent, it will be of no avail to him. The first is that he associated anything else with Allah in his obligatory worship, and he ascribed a partner to God. He committed an act of polytheism. For example, he worshipped an idol, right? Or he ascribed a partner to God in some form. The second is, or appeased his own anger by killing someone. He killed someone for no reason, simply because he was angry. Or exposed acts committed by others. This is a very grave sin, meaning somebody performed an act, an indecent act, you know, an unbecoming act, a sin, and this person exposed to that person. Or not even an unbecoming act or a sin. Maybe this person had a fault, but not necessarily a sin, which he wanted to keep secret from somebody, and this person exposed it to other people, even though that person didn't want it to be exposed. This is also a very grave sin. Next, the Imam says, or sought fulfillment of his needs from people by introducing an innovation in his religion. Meaning he committed a bid'at. He innovated something in religion. He introduced something in a religion that really didn't belong in religion, simply because he wanted something from the people. Right? He wanted to make money off of this bid'at that he introduced in religion. Then the Imam says, or was two-faced in his encounters with people. He was a hypocrite. He meted people in a certain way, but really he was another way. He meted them friendly, but he really didn't like them. Or he pretended to be religious and pious, but in secret he was not. He was deceiving people. And in the end, the Imam says, or mingled amongst them deceitfully. This is another bad thing which can not be forgiven unless a person repents from it. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at unforgivable sins in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin وآل محمد.
Doing a sound from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us.
Mass murder after mass murder describes the reality of what the Israeli regime is committing on a daily basis in Gaza. Since October, the U.S.-Israeli genocide